Loretta Santilli, known to many of us as Laura. And Laura is the manager of the New York State IIS, and she's been in that role for 3.5 years. She's been with the State Department of Health in New York for 16 years. She is currently a board member and on the executive committee of the ERA board, and she's going to talk to us about the MERAL group's latest topic and the IIS-VFC collaboration that came out of that. Laura.
Today, I want to talk a little bit about MERAL and the latest work that we're doing. Nearly finished up. We're on the very end of it. I am just the face of more than a dozen folks that have really pulled all of this information together. In particular, I want to recognize the work of these five collaborators. Warren and David are here in the audience. I'm not sure if Nancy's here. Elaine, I haven't seen. Terry. It's really been a core group that have really been the wind behind the sails of this group, and I'm not sure if every group always needed as much wind as this one, but but I'm very grateful for the wind behind this group to keep us sailing. As Michael says, what's your beef, jerky? What's the challenge? He always makes me smile when he does that, and when I saw this slide, I thought immediately of that. We are a complex organization, IIS, public health. And when you add VFC into that mix, I don't think you can find a more complex collaborative type of effort. We're intricate. We have a lot of processes and policies and rules. We have multi-level associations from the federal and the state and the local, and there's rules all along the way. And, you know, what we really need to do is figure out the best way to do that in a concise, consolidated, consistent way. MERAL is one way to do that. It's one way to take that challenge, to take that problem, and develop a best practice so a core group of people can look at a problem that's been thought about collaboratively and selected, and then try to pick it apart, peel the onion, so to speak, and figure out a way that the rest of the IIS community can use to promote operational consistency so that, you know, we're all doing it the same as much as possible. Foster communication and collaboration. This particular group topic, that was a key element, that cross-collaboration between two, sometimes historically not the best communicator and the collaborators between those two programs. And then increase and maintain the credibility of the IIS in support of immunization programming. So they've been at this for a while. When I was asked to join the MERAL steering committee and then as a subject matter expert, I said, yeah, I want to hitch my cart to that horse. I always mess my metaphors up, but I think I got that one right. They've been doing this for a while, and they had a very good reputation about producing useful documents. When I took this position as the IIS manager, those little cliff notes were one of the first things that I read. So I kind of knew, could I handle the big detailed document behind it? Not quite. But very shortly thereafter, then it was a really detailed document for me to really go in and apply those rules to our particular program. So since 2004, they've picked topics and really drilled down, and I think this is probably the first one that has had such a cross-program collaboration. I think most of them have been really focused on IIS, kind of spread our wings a little bit, and I think we're going to continue that with the next topic, which I believe is going to be how IIS can support a vaccine program in inventory type. Do I have that right? That's where we really nailed down, is the inventory type. So how can IIS support the vaccine programs in inventory management? So I want to make sure I cover my points as well. So I think I got that. Yeah. All right. So why is the collaboration important? So as I mentioned, the IIS-VFC partnership is always evolving. And so this is identified as a place where we need to make those connections. So there's strength in numbers. By putting the two programs together, we now have double sets of subject matter experts that can then look at the problem from both perspectives. There's no way IIS can try to figure out what VSC needs, and VSC can't figure out what IIS can do. You need to literally put them in the same room, communicate, and in a constructive environment where you can kind of share your thoughts, and eventually you see those light bulbs go, oh, I get it. I know what you've been saying, but I didn't get it. Now I get it. And I know I had several of those aha moments. So the idea is to capture those elements, in particular related to eligibility status for a patient, that we can then share and use for those that are direct data entering or the electronic transfer. Nothing we can do now can be done without taking into consideration the interoperability perspective. So we made sure that was incorporated. And we have to make sure that, in particular, eligibility status is consistent across all grantees and provider organizations. What does it mean in New York? Is the same thing it's going to mean in Minnesota? Is the same thing it's going to mean in any state? Okay? Because at the federal level, they need us to look at it appropriately. And we want to reduce the burden on our providers. We keep asking them to do more and more with less and less. Pretty soon they're going to do everything with nothing. We'll see that they don't revolt. So we need to assist them with that. So by reducing the number of times they have to send the same information to different people will be welcome. And IAS can support the VFC in this eligibility project by having that aggregate data, the providers reported and have the aggregate data that then we can provide to the VFC and grantee programs. And I make you'll hear me say that a lot, VFC and the grantee programs, because many of the states have very robust vaccine programs that go beyond the VFC, and that was another one of those points, that the vaccine program isn't just VFC, and every program in every state has a little bit different twist to their grantee program. And so data quality, you'll hear that in everything, data quality in everything we do. Improving data quality is an underlying pinning for everything. All right, how do we do it? And we use the modern business analysis and really strong facilitation techniques to really pull this group together. There were 14 subject matter experts with diverse backgrounds from the IIS and the VFC and vaccine programs, which was critical. You had to have those dual perspectives. We looked at what was existing. Several of the key states, you know, provided some examples of the way they do things. It's much easier to react to something when you see it and say, oh, okay, that's interesting, or, you know, we can do that, or, you know, we have a different twist on that. That was very helpful, especially I know to me, and I know others as well. And then once we kind of had a little bit of momentum, they pulled us all together, stuck us in a room, and for 2.5 days, we just hashed out all of these details. We were exhausted at the end of it, but really had made significant progress in really figuring out many of the key issues. And then to try to keep that momentum going, we had those post-in-person meeting teleconferences to really try to finalize those recommendations and come up with the best practices. That's the standard method that they use through all the topics. They've really got a good thing going. That's a good process. It works. So what were our key outcomes? Definitions. You had to start with the standard understanding of what we mean when we say patient eligibility versus vaccine eligibility versus vaccination event eligibility. It sounds simple, but you have 14 subject matter experts, and you have 14 different interpretations of words. So we had to come to a common understanding. And our common phrase was, I can live with that. It's not perfect, but I can live with that. And I don't know how many times we had to be reminded, it may not be exactly, don't get stuck in the wordsmithing, can you live with that? And when you take a step back, you realize, you look at it, yeah, I can live with that. That's good. Developing detailed decision tables to present logic, okay, and that's really important. We came up with 26 different scenarios, but you could easily add a zero after that. We could have been there for a week coming up with different scenarios, because for every type of eligibility and every type of scenario, you kind of want to have a black and white answer, because we're dealing with information technology. There's no gray. It's got to be black or white. When you deal with humans, there's all kinds of, well, what about this and what about that? So we had to stay focused, and I think we came up with the 26 most common scenarios, and we focused on that. And we didn't worry that we didn't have the other 100 what-ifs. We focused on the big ones. We formulated 17 very specific business rules to guide how we're going to do it, and 9 general recommendations, and we'll talk about those a little bit. We also added in some key eligibility reports, because it's not just about putting the information in, as we've been saying till we're blue in the face, you got to get the information out of the system. So what are the key reports that the IIS can use to support the vaccine program? Things like the provider profile report really percolated to the top as something that was important, both at the individual provider level and in an aggregate way that the VFC program, the vaccine program, can really look at their population of providers as a whole. The doses administered in an aggregated fashion, we had a real ability to be able to support that for the vaccine program. And describing how those recommendations for patient eligibility are transmitted using the HL7 standard. We had to make sure we addressed that. So this slide just is kind of like an outline of the rest of the presentation, but I'll go through them one at a time. So we had to all agree on scope. There are so many issues that you want to try to handle while you're doing it, but you have to really stay focused on why you're there. And this diagram, I'm not sure the proper term of it. I was very grateful for the business modeling 101 in the beginning, because I didn't know what all the terms. What's a domain model and a business process model? So I don't know what this thing is called. I think it's a business process model. It was very helpful, and especially the little red X's to say, oh, no, that's not part of this project. So whenever we started to scope creep, we had to go back and say, no, remember, we're not going to talk about that. We acknowledge that it exists, but it's not part of our work. And that was really helpful to kind of keep us on track. And this is the domain diagram that really takes it to the level of every decision and process, you know, that exists between all of these types of programs and the proper terms and the proper associations and the actors and the players. It looks a little overwhelming, and this is just a tiny piece of it, but when you take a deep breath and say, okay, I'm really going to look at it, it makes a lot of sense. It's pictorial, and that's very helpful because we had different kind of learners in the group. Some people needed to see a picture. Some people needed to hear it. Some people needed the narrative, and we got that. So depending on the best way you learned, you got it in all three ways, and whatever worked for you, you could really get the information you need. So some of the highlights. We talked a lot about patient screening. When do you screen a patient? How often do you need to do that? What are the criteria that you need in order to properly screen a patient? And we had several business rules that came out of that. And these are some of them. Also, selecting patient eligibility from the pool of all available eligibilities. There needs to be a single eligibility and coverage status for the patient for every vaccination event. That is a key point. It has to be at the vaccination event. All right? And so what happens when, you know, there's more than one choice? We established in general, again, it's not going to fit every scenario, but in general, a hierarchy. Private insurance coverage first, then the VFC, the true federal VFC program eligibility. A lot of people said VFC to indicate the vaccine program. No, it's VFC from the federal perspective, and then the grantee program eligibilities. We couldn't really go into all of the permutations of grantee vaccine program eligibilities because they were so diverse and so wide, you know, across the country. But, you know, establishing the hierarchy was definitely critical for that. So what happens, because we identified that as an issue, what happens when you have dual coverage issues? And we had to really hash this out and make sure everybody understood this. So if there's dual coverage options, you know, how do you indicate the patient's eligibility at that vaccination event? And according to that business rule that we just did previously, you know, apply those hierarchy. And this is in lockstep and barrel with the VSC recommendations. We couldn't just go off on our own and make our own recommendations. We were thinking about what made the most sense, and luckily it worked. It did match, you know, the VSC recommendations. It had to. And I think my understanding is there's a VSC, maybe a program operations guide or something that has been revised, and this kind of hierarchy and I think some of the work that we've done has driven some of those revisions in there. So again, it makes sense to have it coming from both avenues so that everybody's clear on what to do in these scenarios. That's always a good thing. So the data items for patient eligibility. We really found that there was the okay, we can live with that set, which is the good practice. You really have to have this. But then we found ourselves really trying to raise the bar as well. So we came up with these good practice versus best practice options and say, okay, we're really making a recommendation that you have to do at the very least this. And so we said, you have to pick a single data element from this list. Okay, what exactly is that eligibility for this event? But then we said, okay, what would be great is if we could try to record some of those dual eligibility kind of scenarios. So for example, Medicaid eligibility and the child being an American Indian Alaskan Native. Okay, they could have that. It's still a VFC eligible child, but there could be more than one way to get there. So that was kind of how we broke it up, that good practice versus the best practice. How often to report patient eligibility, okay? So again, we said, and again, every vaccination event, so every dose administered has to have the VFC eligibility. Why do I keep honing in on that? Is because in a given day, that child may be eligible depending on the vaccine. And I think we saw that with H1N1. H1N1 wasn't a federal VFC vaccine, but they may have been presenting to the provider and getting their regular VFC vaccine at the same time that they were getting H1N1. It's publicly funded, it's a grantee vaccine, but it's not VFC. How do we resolve that? So it has to be, if you only selected one, which one do you have to choose if you're doing it at the patient level? So that's why it was really critical to bring it down to the vaccination event. All right, general recommendations for validation. Again, data quality underpinning. And we put the onus on both the provider and the IIS to validate the information that's coming in. So you can trust that the provider's going to do the right thing, but you got to verify it as well. And that's what we came up with, the recommendation that the IIS application should also have functionality to kind of drive higher data quality, to make sure something that just doesn't make sense is presented to them at the time so they can resolve it at the time. Yes, the provider has to try to ensure they do the right thing, but it's also good if they have some prompts to do that as well. And reports. So as I talked about just briefly earlier, we really came up with a recommendation that the IIS application should have reports. I think we heard that loud and clear with the new VTRACS program. One of the things that they said is there's not enough reports. We got all this data in here, and we're not able yet to pull that out. So I think it's something that the programs have said that they really need, and it's something that we recognize as well. Having the reports for more detailed analysis so that there's manipulation that we can do to support the vaccine program and the rest of the immunization program. So Chapter 5 focuses specifically on the reports, those profiles, doses administered in particular, and then we listed others that just for lack of time we really couldn't drill down, things like detailed patient lists, vaccine accountability reports, quality assurance, pockets of needs like gap analysis, and just provider coverages, things that we said these would be great to have as well. So what do the recommendations offer? Peer-reviewed, subject matter expert, practical guidelines to operationalize. Specific business rules and general recommendations that we can apply to the program operations. We went right down into specific eligibility screening scenarios and have a set of agreed upon terms and definitions. So when we get ourselves twirled around, we went back to that little table and said, okay, how are we defining that? Let's make sure my understanding matches that. And then we can share that with the rest of the IIS and vaccine communities. As I said, this process really worked. They built in feedback to make sure that they were getting, you know, they were on the right path. And just like all the other ones, you know, they got the positive feedback that, yes, you know, this process works. Would you do it again? Yeah, you know, this is important. Would you assign other staff? Yeah, as we think about the next projects, I already have a staff member that I'm thinking about, you know, to add to that group. This is really critical, and it's a way to drive those recommendations. So if you have an interest in saying, you know, I want to be on the front end. I want to work the issues out. If you don't have the resources, that's okay, because you'll be able to get the output from this group. That's the point. It's shareable with the rest of us. So in conclusion, the work group developed guidelines, recommendations, and a knowledge base for IISs concerning collaboration with the VFC and grantee and immunization program. The recommendations are at the business and operational level. They're independent from specific, you know, software and technology that we all had. It didn't matter. It really focused on consistent use and implementation of the recommendations. Overall, it's going to help us do what we do better. And we also are addressing the NVAC recommendations, and their recommendation was to develop a guidebook and best practices for IIS to promote IIS data quality and data use. And this is one way that we can meet that that recommendation. So I like this picture. This is David. He pulled it up. You can interpret that like we're yanking the whole, you know, ship onto the shore, and we're, you know, drowned out and bedraggled. It's kind of how we felt after some of the conference calls. But really, in the end, we have a great product, and once we get it all tidied up and get the Cliff Notes version, I think it's going to be a really useful thing to have for the group. That's it.
Thank you, Laura. That was a great presentation, and I can say, as having been a subject matter expert on a couple of these topics, it can be excruciatingly painful while you're in the middle of it and afterwards as you try and finalize things, but it's really worth it, and it's actually fun. I mean, if you can sort of take yourself up above the level of frustration that you have at sometimes. It's I don't know how to describe it. It's character building, let's put it that way. and I wanted to just recognize David Lyallen, if I said your name right, and Warren Williams. You want to just stand up in case people don't know you? They've been the leaders of this MIRAO work group for years. And David especially is an extremely patient person as he tries to herd cats, yeah, basically. So I think it's time for questions of either of our presenters. So please step forward to the microphone if you have any questions or comments.
When do you think this fifth chapter will be out and ready for us to look at?
3 weeks.
Nice. Weeks?
Yeah, I was thinking months. That's awesome. No. Yeah, so 3 weeks. So that's great. Yeah, this is timely. It's really timely, especially with the funding opportunities, you know, going around. I think people are cramming, you know, looking for information. So this will be helpful. Stay tuned.
One of the things that continues to just amaze and impress me is the amount of passion that people bring to this area. I think everybody has pretty strong opinions on how things should be done, but that's a reflection of the passion. You know, we really are committed to this work, and it's very worthwhile.